This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
See, Judas Priest, so much better. Don't you feel better about yourself now?
No.
Why not?
I like the other song better.
What? Are you drinking on the job, Johnny?
No, we've had these conversations before. Like, unless you tell me what, you know, bands to go after, I have zero idea.
Yeah. Priest over Diana Ross every time. Not to mention, like, Diana Ross is like the biggest diva of all time. If you want to talk about absolute biatch with a capital B, got her. Second biggest biatch, Elton John. I like Elton John's music, but he is a classic mega B diva. I mean, let's be real. His diva-ishness is why we didn't get to see him here at Minute Maid. They refused to reschedule.
When was this?
November 4th. He was supposed to play here. But because the Dodgers got eliminated because they suck, the Astros became the highest seed team, so they became the home team, which meant they would host Game 6. So Game 6 was supposed to be November 4th. Because of the rain out in Philly, it pushed everything back a day. So actually, that day wound up being clear. But they could have just rescheduled it for the following week. It's not like he's doing so many shows. He's not doing, it's not like the kind of tour where they've got a show every the day. They're not doing that.
Why in the world was he at Minute Maid Park anyways? There's so many other places to do his concert here. Why Minute Maid?
Because you get...
It's like the worst place to do it.
No, it's a great place to do a show. You stack it with... You got 40,000 seats, of which you probably use, I don't know, 33,000. And then you got everybody in the outfield. That's another, 5,000 people. You have 40,000 people in a building for a concert.
It sounds funny in the arena. Like, when I've gone to concerts at Toyota Center, it sounded fantastic.
Well,
Minute Maid, it just doesn't sound the same.
It's different acoustics, an arena to a stadium. But, I went to see Billy Joel there, and he sounded just fine. Yeah, he sounded just like Billy Joel. There was no, it didn't sound different, didn't sound funny, or kind of awkward, like reverb or anything. He sounded like Billy Joel. Yeah, Elton John, could have sounded like Elton John. Been fine. I'm not a fan of the fact that he canceled. He could have rescheduled. They could have postponed. They could have done another day, another week. What? No, they just canceled. And then they took a month to give me my refund. They're not on my good people list right now. Sorry. Though it was nice to see that the credit card that I put those tickets on, my balance went woo all the way down.
Did you lose your points when it got refunded?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look. Probably we'll lose the points. Yes, that's just true. But, now I got to go find something new to get my wife for her birthday. So, First world problems, Johnny. First world problems. All right, so Texans will take on the Commies this weekend at NRG. It's Salute to Service Day. The Texans do this every year where they will honor the military, both active and retired members. Found out today, Derek Stingley is out. So the third overall pick will not play on Sunday. Injured his hamstring in practice on Wednesday and was a limited participant. Then did not practice Thursday, did not practice today. So Desmond King will start opposite Steven Nelson. And Tavier Thomas will be the nickel. Stingley was probably going to be the guy who was going to cover Terry McLaurin. So whether that now falls to Steven Nelson, whether that falls to Desmond King, whether they just try to bracket coverage on him every play, I don't know. But obviously not having Stingley is going to make it harder to cover Terry McLaurin. So I was like, all right, well, how can the Texans, you know, be competitive in this game? Let's peel the numbers back. Let's take a look. Let's see, you know, where are the strengths and weaknesses of this team? Well, the good news is the Commies don't score much more than the Texans do. The Texans are averaging 16.5 points a game, and the Commies are averaging 19 points a game, so it's not a big difference. Neither team is a big offensive team. The Texans only run for about 102 yards a game, usually because they're trailing and then they don't run much, even though, you know, Damian Pierce is their best offensive player. Well, the Commies are running for 112.5 a game, so again, not a tremendous amount more. Passing yards, Texans 199.5, Commies 211.5. Not tremendously more. Here's something I thought was interesting. Sacks allowed. The Commanders have allowed 32 sacks so far. That is tied for third most. So you can get through their offensive line in the pass game. The Texans have allowed 23 sacks. They're like top 12, but they're not all the way up the very top. Now, Texans have 22 sacks on defense, and the Commies have 24 sacks on defense. So, you know, they're going to have to play. You know, they're going to have to block, but the Texans certainly could find a way to get home in the pass rush to cause Taylor Heinicke some trouble trying to find receivers. Now, think about that for a second. Taylor Heinicke is like the savior for the Washington Commies. And do you guys remember when Taylor Heinicke signed with the Texans? It was a few years ago. And was like, wait, they signed this guy? Taylor Heinicke's, you know, 29. And in 2017, was a member of the Houston Texans. He did throw one pass for 10 yards. He also took a 16-yard sack. Then he went to Carolina, restarted a game at 0-1. Then he signed at Washington in 2020. He came in relief one day and was 12-19 for a touchdown. Not terrible. Last season, he started 15 games. The Commies went 7-8, and he was sacked 38 times. And he had 20 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Those aren't very good numbers for those of you keeping score at home, and I know you are. This year, the savior, Taylor Heinicke, is 3-1, completing 62% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Those are the things heroes are made of. In those 4 games, he's been sacked 9 times. But he's 3-1. The Commies are on a little bit of a roll right now. Now, whether that's because they don't have Carson Wentz screwing games up, or they're just playing better football, or both. But Taylor Heinicke, if we're going to be realistic, definition of game manager. In fact, not even a good game manager. A below average game manager who completion percentage is on the low side of the bar. Touchdown to pick ratio is terrible. The Commies are not a team you should be looking at going, oh man, the Commies are going to smash Texans. They're so much better. They're not a big-time running team, and that's where the Texans get hammered is big-time running teams. They can't stop the run. Right? Texans allowing 182 yards a game on the ground. Commies aren't going for 182. Commies aren't a big passing team. This is a game, realistically, Texans should have a shot, assuming Davis Mills doesn't throw critical interceptions. It's a really big if. You know, all week we heard Davis Mills talk about they need to have more urgency on offense. They need to come out faster. They need to score points earlier. Pep Hamilton, need to have more urgency on offense. Got to score more points. Got to score more points early. You know, we score more points early, we can lean on the run game more. Is this the wheel? Like, do they finally start scoring points early? And they had six trips to the red zone against the Giants last week. They scored one touchdown. It's tough to win. They had two trips. They got nada. If you get six trips to the red zone against the Commies, well, you better have at least 25 points. I think this will be a close game. And I think it's possible the Texans could get a win. This should be another one of those games that's close in the fourth quarter, and then it'll come down to, are the Texans going to fold up like a cheap suit in the fourth quarter as they have done eight times this year, or are they actually going to be useful in the fourth quarter and close out a victory? And it did happen once. Once. It's like Joe Piscopo and Johnny Dangerously. Never hang me on a hook. My father hung me on a hook once. Once. Texans got to win. Once. And it does bring me to another conversation, because it's a conversation people don't want to have. It's a conversation people want to be in denial about. And we'll get to it at 8:30, because coming up next, our girl Carolina Teague from the San Antonio Sports Star, our sister station in San Antonio, she's going to join us next, talk a little Dallas Cowboys with us here on Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP guest line from our sister station in San Antonio, she's Carolina Teague. She's going to talk some Cowboys with us. What's up, girl?
Hey, what's up, Patrick?
I am enjoying some very nice Dr. Pepper Zeros. Thank you very much. And
oh my gosh,
yeah, I'm going to rub that in all the time. And we're going to talk some Cowboys football here. Let's start with the fact that the Cowboys are going on the road to Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
Coming off of an absolutely brutal game,
mm-hmm.
and they're favored. Do you feel like the Cowboys should be favored in Minnesota against the 8-1 undefeated at home Vikings?
No, I don't understand why the line is like that. It seems like they shouldn't be favored, but they were also favored against the Packers too. So anything can happen, but it doesn't make sense why the line is like that. Maybe the line is like that because the Cowboys are probably going to come back from a devastating loss against the Packers. The Cowboys are 195-0 when they're leading into the fourth quarter. If they're up by 14 points, they absolutely blew it. There were questionable calls by Mike McCarthy in overtime, and maybe that loss was something that they needed to get over the edge, and maybe that's why Vegas is possibly giving them the edge as the winners of this game. But it doesn't make sense to me that they're not the underdogs in this situation, considering what their record is. But also, too, you got to look at the Vikings. They're 8-1, but they're also in the NFC North, which is not really the most competitive division right now in the NFL. And you're looking at the Cowboys, who are in the NFC East, arguably one of the best divisions in the NFL. That could be a possibility as to why they have the favorite in this game.
Carolina, last week the Cowboys, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy, he did not hide the fact he really wanted to beat the Packers in Green Bay. And the Cowboys did something they've never done in their history. They blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead. The first time in 196 games in franchise history, they blow a 14-point fourth quarter lead, a game that the head coach desperately wanted to win. Are you concerned about a hangover effect with the team after coming off of a game that, you know, the coach probably pumped up, he really wanted to win, they lose it? Do you think that has a positive effect on them that they bounce back, or are you concerned about a negative effect on them that, you know, they were, this was a game they were real pumped up to win, they were supposed to win, and they just totally choked?
A part of me thinks it could have a negative impact, and the reason I say that is because, I mean, Dak is at the helm right now. He's lost two of his last three games that he played since he came back from his injury, and right now, like, to me, it's looking like if they don't win this game, there's a lot of pressure on him. They might have to consider putting Cooper Rush back in, and it could be a hangover situation because Mike McCarthy made a huge slip-up, especially in overtime. I mean, they were in Green Bay Packer territory, and the Cowboys were faced with a close fourth-down decision. Normally, you know, people would kick a field goal, and everybody was screaming at the TV not to do it, and Mike McCarthy decides to go for it. So when you don't really trust your coach in making these type of decisions, or you have Dak Prescott who has the ball in his hands with less than a minute left, and he's not able to get the team to the promised land like they're supposed to be, it could have a negative effect on the impact of the team as a totality. So, I mean, there is a possibility that that can happen.
Where is the bigger anger with Cowboys country? Is it with Dak Prescott or is it with Mike McCarthy?
That's a really good question. I think the anger is more guided towards head coach Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff rather than it is with Dak Prescott, simply because the offense needs to work on better passing plays and better decision-making. And Kellen Moore is one of the reasons why these turnovers were happening, because the plays were not strong-willed calls. I mean, it's one side of the ball is a well-called game, and then you have a completely opposite to an awful game within a matter of one quarter. So I would definitely say that it's more so of a coaching thing rather than it is a Dak thing, for sure.
Now, we're talking with Carolina Teague, San Antonio Sports Star, sister station in San Antonio. The Cowboys have given up at least 200 yards on the ground in back-to-back games. They haven't done that three times in a row since their expansion season of 1960. Dalvin Cook, of course, one of the better backs, had an 81-yard touchdown run last week. Do you think the Cowboys can shore up the run defense, which all of a sudden cannot keep containment outside? All of a sudden has these huge running lanes on the interior of the line. Can they get it fixed in a week, or are you worried about Minnesota just pounding that defense into the ground?
Oh, I think that the Cowboys have their work cut out for them. Dalvin Cook, his career highs in carries is 32 carries in a game, but in the last two games that he's played against Dallas, he had 26 and 27 carries. And those carries ranked top 10 over his last six seasons playing in the NFL. So I am more than likely pretty positive that they're going to be very, very run heavy, especially when you have a porous rush defense like the Cowboys do. That's clearly the weak part of their football team, the weakest part of their football team overall. We've seen throughout the weeks that the offense has been productive, that even though the defense has been kind of porous throughout this week as a whole, there were games throughout the season, the first several games throughout the season, where the defense was doing an incredible job. The only part of the team where it's porous is definitely that rush defense. That's been a concern since the entire season. So as far as Dalvin Cook, I don't see them being able to stop him. I mean, this is an unstoppable type of guy. So it's going to be hard for them to do that, 100%.
Is Zeke Elliott going to play this week?
They're saying that he's questionable right at the moment, but Mike McCarthy and the rest of the coaching staff said that they really want him to play in this game. And to be quite honest, he has to play in this game because this game is going to be that game that determines whether the Cowboys are going to be a playoff type of team. The Cowboys are good with teams that are below .500, but teams that are over .500, they've been having struggling issues with. The Vikings are 8-1. They need both Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott to show up to this game to be able to perform. So we can see as a totality how the Cowboys can perform up against playoff teams because they have to win this game for sure, especially in the NFC where you have one of the toughest divisions. You have the Eagles who finally lost a game, and then you have the Giants who have a better record than them. This can be something that, you know, is really vital to the positioning of where they stand towards the NFC playoff run.
Kalina, what's the fan heat check on Ezekiel Elliott? Do fans want Zeke to play over Pollard? Do they want Pollard to play over Zeke? How do the fans look at, you know, that running back backfield? How do they want those carries to be shaped up?
The Cowboys fans, the consensus that I see all over social media is that they are drinking the Tony Pollard Kool-Aid. Pretty much everyone loves Tony Pollard over Ezekiel Elliott, and that's the main conversation. It's not necessarily who's going to be QB1 or QB2, whether it's Dak or Cooper Rush. Is it RB1, Ezekiel Elliott, or RB2, Tony Pollard, or vice versa? And a lot of people have that debate that RB1 should be Tony Pollard. Me personally, that type of, you know, argument is kind of irrelevant because I think they both do an incredible job and they're more so of a dynamic duo together. And I think in order to be effective in the Cowboys game, both of them should play for the best type of result this weekend.
Is OBJ going to be a Cowboy?
I heard rumors that OBJ is going to be a Cowboy, but I'm not too sure about that, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if he will, but, you know, anytime, you know, I think sometimes things happen, especially in regards to OBJ, you know, they could add him and that would be a great piece for them. And Ezekiel Elliott did say recently that they want OBJ. Micah Parsons has said they want OBJ. You know, but it's going to cost them a pretty penny to get somebody like OBJ. I don't know if the Cowboys are willing to spend that kind of money. It'd be nice to pick him up, but I don't know if that's going to happen. And to me, honestly, I think the Dallas Cowboys are really good at marketing, and I think they just like to flirt with these type of ideas that are all over the place just so that they can be in the news and be in the media. I think it's kind of brilliant, to be honest with you, and they're incredible at marketing and putting stories out there that kind of allude to that type of stuff. There is no state income tax, though, in Texas. That's a benefit for OBJ.
All right, give us your prediction for this game, Cowboys and Vikings. What do you think?
I think Vikings, for sure. What do you think? You got to tell me, because I'm 100% like going with the Vikings for this one. Unless Kirk Cousins blows it sometimes, you know, I'm going with the Vikings.
Well, if it was Sunday night football, I think you'd have a better chance of that, because, you know, primetime Cousins. But with this game, and the Cowboys are favored by 1.5. I don't get it. ESPN's analytics say, you know, Cowboys 56.6% chance of winning. I don't know. I don't see it. I see the Vikings here at home.
I wish we could do a bet.
Well, don't worry. The Giants and the Cowboys can play real soon.
Okay, so we can do a bet then. We're not on the opposite side this time. Something tells me the Vikings are going to be able to win and pull it off.
Yeah, we'll have to, you know, buy ourselves our own Dr. Pepper Zeros for this.
Yeah, we got to buy ourselves our own drinks this weekend. Jesus.
She's Kalina Teague with our sister station in San Antonio, the Sports Star. Follow her on Twitter at Kalina Teague _. And tell them where they can find your blogs, your podcasts, and all that stuff.
I'm everywhere at Kalina Teague _ on Twitter and Instagram. And I have my podcast, League of Our Own. It's on all streaming platforms. So tune in if you can't get enough of the Cowboys.
All right, it's Kalina Teague with the Sports Star in San Antonio. Always appreciate you, girl. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Patrick. Always a good time talking to you.
All right, Kalina Teague with the San Antonio Sports Star with us here on Late Hits.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So now, that's not a bad cover, but go with the original. Go with the original, Dio.
I'm not sure who the original is. Oh, Dio?
Dio. Go with the original. It's like, you know, sometimes the original is better than the cover. Sometimes the cover is better than the original. In this case, the original is better. You know, if you go and get Megadeth's version of No More Mr. Nice Guy, well, the cover is better. It depends. Sometimes covers are awesome, and they're like even better than the original. Sometimes. Sometimes covers are hideous. And you're like, why did somebody think this was a good idea? You know, not every cover makes you go, dude, this is awesome. Like, if you have heard Fear Factory's version of Cars by Gary Numan, the Fear Factory version is awesome. It's awesome. There's, unfortunately, not every cover works out quite as well. You have a particular cover that you like?
Not necessarily, no. I didn't even know... I don't necessarily know what that song is or who the original...
What, that song that you play?
Yeah.
That's Holy Diver. That's from Dio's first solo album, which I think is 1983. It was the title track to the song. It's one of his most famous, most popular songs. I don't know who the cover band is, but like I know the song. I know the riff. I know exactly how it goes, and you can tell that that's a cover. Not necessarily bad. It's just not as good as the original. So that's,
it's also the instrumental version. So somebody may have gone out of their way to make that. And so, yeah, it's a cover, but if I could use the, you know, the regular version.
Well, it's an instrumental version, but
right.
That intro is part of the song. That is one of the hallmarks of the song is the intro. So that is, if you find the original and play it.
Okay.
You will understand what I'm saying. The cover makes it fuzzier and more distorted, and the original is cleaner. I'm a fan of that. Guys on the Twitch are talking about the World Cup and how Qatar has apparently changed directions and now is no longer allowing beer in the stadiums. So, after they promised, like, for years, they're going to serve beer, like, 2 days before they're serving. Yeah, just kidding. When you deal with what are essentially totalitarian governments, and there are no checks and balances, and there essentially are no rights, but hey, they paid a lot of money to FIFA. If I'm an American player, I am going to the hotel, to the gym, and to the stadium, and I am doing absolutely nothing else, lest I wind up being incarcerated in a foreign country. For all the things that are wrong with our country, you go to a foreign country, you have no rights. You might have negative rights. I mean, there are some countries like, oh, well, you know, this is essentially a theocracy in Qatar. And like, oh, you said something bad about Allah. I heard you. Death penalty. That's all it takes. He slandered Allah. Death penalty. It's no trial. There's no evidence. You're just dead.
Is it that you think it's that level right now in Qatar?
They're a theocracy.
I mean, I don't think they would aim that at the players, though. Imagine a player said something and then, you know, I don't know. Christian Pulisic. They off Christian Pulisic. Like, I hope not. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, that would create...
It would create international incident.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't think that they give a damn. The Saudis clearly didn't care about killing Jamal Khashoggi.
That's true.
They tried to hide it very poorly. Got found out. When they got found out, what happened? Not your problem. Shut up. Go away. Right? He's an enemy of the state. You know, I Brittany Griner went to Russia with a vape pen. Now, maybe she forgot that you can't have those in Russia or whatnot, but it doesn't matter. They railroaded her, and they got her doing 9 years in a hard labor camp. And sorry, but the president ain't doing a damn thing. They can say they're going to help. They can say they're trying. They're not doing bleep. Because for the most part, they don't care. And it's not about her being black. It's not about her being gay. It's not about her being a basketball player. It's about the fact that this country has shown time and time and time again, if you get stuck in another country, you better expect that you're going to sit. Because they're not coming tomorrow. I mean, look how long it takes them to get their own military people out.
Who was it that got the UCLA guys out? Wasn't it in China?
That was in China.
Yeah. Who was
and
it that...
they paid a lot of money.
A lot of money. Russia won't take money?
How much? You know, I mean, these were three college basketball kids who basically got caught, you know, with sticky fingers. You know, stupid, small-time stealing stuff, right? And they got busted, and they were going to look at hard time. They got paid off to get out. Brittany Griner's a very famous person. She's way more famous than LiAngelo Ball. So what's it cost? And who's going to pay it? You know, does somebody have $50 million to get her out? I don't know if the WNBA as a whole has $50 million to get her out.
No, I mean, I would have thought at this point the oligarch that owned the team over there probably would have done it. But
the number one thing, when you go somewhere else, you keep your nose clean. You step where Indy steps, and you touch nothing. Because those other countries that are not fans of America, they will look for any reason to grab an American, accuse you of something. Next thing you know, you're in a deep, dark hole. And people might not even know for months that you're in that hole. You have no rights. As far as they're concerned, you are an intruder. So when you go overseas, especially when you go to these, totalitarian-type governments, man, you better keep your nose and hands clean. I would literally, hotel, gym, arena, hotel. You never leave anywhere without your whole team. You never go out in a small group, only as a whole group with the team. And if that means you spend a lot of time by yourself in the hotel, shut up and deal with it. You know, it's crazy how that all works out. And look, I mean, they'd be bragging to the other countries in that region. Hey, we caught this American guy doing this. Ha ha, we will stomp America. Other countries don't like us. It's just how it is. So, you know, the stuff with Qatar and how they just changed, there'll be no repercussion for that. It doesn't matter that the businesses may have, you know, already spent billions of dollars, you know, arranging for transportation and providing product and advertising and partnerships and the money they spent on sponsorships. They don't care. They got your money. We don't care. You think you're getting it back? Eat the whole bag. You're not going to see bleep. Try us. Sue us in international court. See how well that works. Maybe they'll hear your case in 2053. International court is such a joke. But it's, you know, it is serious when you go play in these foreign countries and you're not talking about a country that's either the U.S. or Canada or a member of the European Union. Once you go outside of that and Australia, you go outside of that, world is different. I'd say Japan, but I think they only really play. I don't think basketball is really big in Japan. Baseball is big in Japan. You know, obviously, you don't have to worry about doing that type of thing in Japan either. You know, Japan, Australia, EU teams, EU countries. But you go to a non-EU country, you know, these Eastern European countries that are, you know, more Islamic-led than democracy-led. You know, corrupt governments like Russia, totalitarian governments like China. Dude, they don't care. You're American? Great. Target. Big old target on you. They don't care. Like, people say, oh, I want to go check out this country. I want to go to that country. I don't. No. Don't want any part of that. I will stay in the countries where the United States has good relationships. And I will not be taken hostage, held to ransom, murdered, or, you know, arrested for no particular reason and thrown in a deep, dark hole. I'll choose not to put my family through any of that. All right, so this is a conversation that I think, as football fans and Texans fans, this is one of those hard conversations we legitimately have to have about the Houston Texans next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, final segment here. I'm going to take a second here for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You guys know the deal, man. Dr. Ben changed my life. I went from having sinus infections every other month for 20 years and snoring so loud my kids called me the chainsaw to not having a sinus infection or a sinus headache for 3 years and running, and no longer snoring, all because of Dr. Ben. If you're not, I don't know how often you've heard me say this, if you haven't called Dr. Ben yet or gone on the website and scheduled an appointment yet, what the hell are you waiting for? Do you enjoy being sick? Do you like waking up 10 times in the middle of the night snoring? Don't live like that. Call Dr. Ben, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule an appointment. Go have a consultation with Dr. Ben. Tell him I sent you by. All right, we got to have a legitimate talk about the Houston Texans. Because I know a lot of people don't want to think this is possible. But are the Texans actually worse than last year? The quarterback has certainly regressed terribly. The run defense is worse than it has ever been in the history of the franchise, including the expansion year. Now, I went and looked, you know, because we were talking about, all right, you know, are they giving up, you know, they're not giving up a ton of points. I went and peeled the, you know, sort of peeled the onion back a little bit on that. Part of the reason they're not giving up as many points is because teams are running the ball all over them, chewing up tons of clock. They don't have to put up tons of points, so they can play conservative. Run, eat up 7-8 minutes, kick a field goal. Texans are going to go 3 and out. They're going to run, 7 minutes, kick a field goal. Texans are going 3 and out. Game over. Teams can play conservative against the Texans because the Texans can't stop the run. So for the most part, while the defense hasn't given up a lot of points, the offensive futility is a big part of that. The other teams are not necessarily looking to chunk up the score because they don't have to. other teams don't have to throw the football. We've already seen at least three games this year where the Texans' opponents have thrown five or less passes the entire second half. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, Derek Stingley hasn't given up a touchdown pass. It's great. Teams are running the ball in. We don't have to pass. That's why the Texans' passing numbers aren't that bad. Teams don't have to pass. They have the lead. They have the ball. They can walk up to the line and say, this is going to be a straight handoff. No RPO, no play action, no jet motion. We're just going to do a straight third grade handoff. Texans can't stop it. I know this because I've seen it for 9 weeks. How is it possible the Texans are worse than they were a year ago? The offensive line is not better. The quarterback is worse, and it's the same guy. The quarterback has regressed. They've already released their starting tight end, and the next starting tight end was inactive last week. They had to deal with one wide receiver being hurt and another one mutinying. There's the worst run defense in the history of the franchise. How are they worse? This was the one thing that I don't think anybody could have really seen coming. Is how did they get worse going from David Culley to Lovie Smith? How did that happen? Because they're worse. How did the offense get worse going from Tim Kelly to Pep Hamilton? How are they worse? Wasn't Pep Hamilton supposed to be the quarterback whisperer? With Josh Allen, with Justin Herbert. Well, Davis Mills has gone the other direction. Is that Lovie? Is it Pep? What the hell's going on here? If this team wins two games or less, they can't be back. And I know it'd be firing two head coaches, two black head coaches, after 1 year. You can't justify a guy winning two games coming back. You can't justify being worse the second year with an experienced, respected head coach versus a guy who was clearly in over his head. And they'll probably spin it. You know what? Jack Easterby is not in the building anymore. So we don't have the problem of, well, nobody knows what's going on with Deshaun. Deshaun wants out. Jack Easterby's here, and nobody wants to really work with Jack. We can't get a good head coach. Nobody wants the job. We're past that part. We're also past the part of Jack Easterby meddling and trying to, you know, get Josh McCown in as the head coach with no NFL experience coaching, no college experience coaching, and basically being a volunteer quarterback coach for his son's high school team. Thankfully, Cal and Jack were not smart enough to do what the Colts did and just say, we'll name him an interim head coach and we'll get around all the loopholes. But it's time to me to let Nick pick his own coach. And I mean actually pick his own coach without interference from Jack Easterby. Without interference from Cal McNair, and I don't think Cal will interfere now that Jack's not here. But now that Jack is not here, there is no question who runs the team, and it's Nick Caserio. We talked about this with James Click. He never got to hire his own guy. Three straight ALCS, two pennants, World Series, didn't get to hire his own guy. It's a sticking point. Nick Caserio needs to be able to hire his own guy. He didn't get to hire the guy he wanted. He got stuck with David Culley. He didn't get to hire the guy he wanted. They promoted Lovie Smith because Jack's meddling and then a lawsuit filed by Brian Flores that named the Texans. Are there going to be optics problems? Maybe. You win two games, there's no problems. Stinks, stinks. And you clean house. You fire everyone. They're all gone. And you bring in a real head coach, and you let that coach pick the staff, and they have an actual system that they move. Because the Texans, there are no excuses for this team actually being worse. Not just record-wise, but statistically worse than they were a year ago. All right, we are not back until Wednesday of next week. Soccer Matters will be on Monday. We're back on Wednesday of next week. Enjoy your weekend. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5.